Our destiny is to live in His purpose. Nuestro destino es vivir en el propósito de Dios. And I'd like to begin by looking at John 15, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 8, and we're using the Amplified version. And the word says, "If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you." So, we can see from this that we need to live our lives as though our lives depended upon this, because it does. It depends on living, us living in the Word and the Word living in us. It's really what the Lord is trying to show us is the importance of His Word. And His words must remain in us and continue to live in us, not just now, but on into the future. Están fuera, están. But there's one thing we've got to see, and that is, it's His living Word. It's the Word that's real to each and every one of us. It's not just words on a piece of paper. It's not just ink on paper. It's the living Word. In 2 Peter, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so that word knowledge, it's not just head. It's not just this. Knowledge means exact knowledge. It's knowledge which has been revealed personally to each and every one of us. It's God's revealed word. It's when that word comes in and light comes. It's like, you know, when we say in English, "Oh, it's just dawned on me." Well, that's really what it is. It's when the Word, God's Word, becomes real to each and every one of us. And suddenly, those words literally jump off the page. Or if you hear, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about the inner witness now. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to each and every one of us on the inside. Now, there has been a problem, and continues to be a problem, with a lot of Christians. And that is that they have just thought that the Word only had to kind of get to this level, head level. And consequently, often what happens is we don't meditate enough in the Word. We don't actually give God the opportunity to enlighten us, because we're not in the Word sufficient, and we're not stilled enough sufficiently for God actually to be able to take that Word and speak it to us. Amen? And so it needs to become that reality. It needs to become that thing that actually belongs to us. And that provides and that produces results. So it says here, in verse 8, it says, "When you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine." So the result of doing what we've seen we need to do in verse 7 is that we honor Him. We lift Him up. We give Him that opportunity, that space in our lives to actually be able to produce those results. That's what it's talking about when it says fruit. Amen? And that's what we want. So the question is, what actually hinders our living in Him and His Word remaining and living in us? Wrong thoughts. We talked this morning about strongholds. There was a song, Andrew mentioned strongholds, and Matteo led the worship team in a song which talks about strongholds. Now for me, this was absolute revelation. When we were at Bible school in the UK, I remember Pastor Andrea one day brought this teaching on strongholds, and it was just like completely life-changing, because I'd never really thought of it like this. But she explained that a stronghold is actually a fortress, a mental fortress in our minds, and from within that mental fortress, the enemy attacks us. The problem is, we don't see what's happening. And so what really what we are captive to the way we're thinking. But we're not even aware of the fact that the enemy is using this to bombard us. And all of this takes place here in the mind. Amen. So we're going to look now at Romans 8:6. And Romans 8:6 says, "Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and thereafter." So we can see that our mind, when we're using our own sense, our own reasoning, it creates darkness, it creates death. But we are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. But it's essentially what we need to see is that we are spiritual beings. And our spirit has been completely and totally and utterly renewed. We are a new person. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that has been perfected. The problem is our soul, which is our mind, our will and our emotions, hasn't. And so, what we need to do is to see that often the way we're thinking, we're not thinking with the new man. We're not thinking spiritual things. We're going off into what this says, which is fleshly reasoning and thoughts. And this is what gets us into trouble. So, what's the solution? There's always a solution. Colin Urquhart always used to say, don't ever tell people what to do without showing them how to do it. Amen? And so we're going to look now at the solution. What is the solution? Let's go. Go with me, please, to Romans 12. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 2. And again, we're reading from the Amplified. And the word says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies." This implies making a decision. It implies our part. This is what we need to do. We need to make that decision. We need to decide that we are going to do what God is asking us to do. Amen? Presenting our members and faculties as a living sacrifice, which is realizing that there is a part to be played on our part. It is realizing that we are offering ourselves. We're saying, okay, Lord, I realize that my spirit is perfect, but I live in my body. I have a soul, and that is not perfected yet. But I realize that as I submit myself to you, I am going to be able to begin to walk in the spirit and allow you to show me your ways. Amen? And the next verse says, "Holy, devoted, consecrating, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship." When we do this, we're worshiping the Lord. We are giving ourselves to Him. And verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed by the renewing, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes." So the title of this message is Conformed or Transformed? That's the question. Amen? Now, the word in Spanish, when they use the word, they often say to somebody, you know, they'll say something and they'll say, conforme, meaning, do you agree with me? And the person will say yes or no. And that's what it means. To be conformed means to make similar, to bring into agreement, to act in accordance with. However, the word transformed means to change the form or appearance, to change the condition or the nature or the function. So we can see very clearly this verse is saying, are we going to be conformed to the way it's always been, to the way the world does things, to the way we always lived before we knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Or are we going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is, in other words, getting our mind in line with what has already been made new, which is our spiritual self? Amen? So, the danger, if you stay conformed to the world, is you will go down that path and it will lead to death. I'm not talking about spiritual death, I'm talking about death in itself, as in you won't reap the benefits of what the Lord has already died to provide you with. Amen? But as you renew your mind, you're able to prove, you're able to try, you're able to experience the perfect will of God. And who wants that? Amen. I want to live in the perfect will of the Lord. How many of us want to live in God's perfect will? Amen. Well, exactly right. We know that if we do His will, we will live in fullness. We will live in the good of everything that He's provided for us. But we need to go through the process. We need to be willing to go through the process. Now, I've got an example, and the example is, it's like we need to clear out our house of thoughts. Think of your mind as a house of thoughts, but that house is full of clutter. It's full of rubbish. I don't know about you, but I'm able to accumulate a whole lot of stuff without really realizing I'm doing it. And then all of a sudden, you look at your house and you think, oh, goodness gracious, I've hardly got room to move around here. There's just loads of stuff everywhere. That's really the way our minds are. And the longer we've lived and walked on this earth, the more clutter there tends to be. Amen? There's a program on TV, I don't know if any of you watch, maybe it's an American program or a Canadian program, I think, and it's called, I've got it written down here, The House of My Dreams, or The House of Your Dreams. And my ten, I like to watch this because it starts by, it takes a couple, they want to move, they are really fed up with the clutter and all of the stuff in their old house and everything. It's always a situation where it's become too small for them, and they need somewhere bigger, they need somewhere more spacious. And these two, they're twins, and they take them to see their dream house. But what they haven't told them is that this house actually is going to be a lot more money than they can afford. And so they go around this house, and they're just like, it's just like, wow factor, this is amazing, this is just absolutely wonderful. They show them the finished version. They show them the reality. They show them the way it should be. You see, in God's word, that's what He's doing with us. He shows us the finished version. He shows us in His word the way it should be. And then in this program, they then tell them that what they need to do is to take on something that needs renovating, that needs completely gutting, that needs clearing out. And the couple are like in disbelief because they think to themselves, there's no way that this property that they've just shown me is ever going to look like the one they showed us at the beginning. But at the end, these two just work their magic, let's say, and the house at the end is absolutely amazing. It's just like wow factor. You know, that's what the Lord does with us. He takes out the clutter. As we work with Him, He takes out the rubbish. And really what He shows us in His word becomes our living reality as we learn to walk with Him and to allow Him to work in our lives. Amen? In the New Living, I want to just show you this verse in the New Living, just verse 2. And in the New Living, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now just look at those words. It says, let God. It doesn't say, you've got to strive, you've got to really work at it, you have got to just sit there and sweat and sweat and sweat until it starts happening. It says, let, which means allow, which means permit, which means invite Him in. It's like, you know that word in Proverbs 3, and it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. That's what it means. When it says acknowledge Him, it means invite Him in. Give Him that space. Allow Him to move in your life. And this is what this is saying. It says, let God transform you, the way you think. There is a part. There is our part to play. There always is. But that let God takes the stress of it's me doing it. It's not me doing it. It's me getting into the word. It's me giving God the space. But He's actually the one that through His word, it's the word and the spirit working together, He's the one that's going to transform the way I think. Amen? And then you will know what God wants you to do. Have any of you ever asked the question, what is it God wants me to do? What is God's perfect will for my life? Have you ever asked that question? If you're honest, I have. Yeah, exactly. And it says here, this is what the word tells us. And then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. God transforms us into a new person, and He does it by His grace. Thoughts lead to actions, which then lead to established thought patterns. I'm going to do it the other way because I'm getting behind the mics. Thoughts lead to actions, which then lead to established thought patterns. Amen? It's consecutive. It's something which is like the knock-on effect. The Bible doesn't say you'll be transformed by prayer. It doesn't say you'll be transformed by fasting. It doesn't say you'll be transformed by people laying hands on you. What it says is you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? So, if you don't change the way you think, you won't be changed as a person. And the definition of madness is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. So if we want different results, we've got to be willing to go through the process of change. Amen? Yeah. Who's willing? Yeah. Amen. Exactly. So, the world puts pressure on us. Everywhere we go, we are in this world, but not of this world. But the world is pressurizing. You know, like yesterday, Martina and I were talking about, they were showing this amazing smart house, and everything was going to be linked up to computers, and you're going to be able to, like, from your computer, from Google, wherever you happen to be, put your chicken, or your chicken would be in the oven, probably, because it's not going to jump in by itself, but it would be in the oven, but you'd be able to, like, bing, and your oven would start going. You could do your washing machine from long distance, all of this stuff. And there's pressure. There's so much technology now. We're bombarded with information. We're bombarded with the way people think, with what they're saying. There's no, you know, it's really, I'm aware of the fact that since I've had this WhatsApp thing in my telephone, you know, people at work are constantly in these groups, and it's bing the whole time, and it's going off the whole time. And all of this stuff is, without we're really realizing it, we're being conformed, we're being interrupted, we're being dragged in the opposite direction to the way we should be going. And we need to go. We need to be like salmon. We've got to learn to swim upstream. And that's what being, not being conformed means. It means going in the opposite direction. God wants to conform us to his image. Amen? And the way that we allow him to do that, the way that we choose what we let form us, is by choosing what we think about. The phrase, stop and think about it. Stop doing what you're doing and think about what you're thinking. This is a discipline, and some people can get into this quicker than others. I'm one of these people that often go off on rabbit trails very quickly, you know, before I've even kind of like realized what I'm doing, I've got to the end of the story. Whereas Matteo tends to be, and I think men are a little bit like this, tends to be more analytical. He'll like kind of like meditate much easier. I tend to be very much more hands-on, but we need to form the discipline of stopping what we're thinking and thinking about what we're thinking, because often what we're thinking about isn't right. Amen? It's wrong thoughts. It's things that we shouldn't be allowing in. A thought, actually, rather, a word is a capsule that contains a thought. Amen? For example, if I say to you the word tharapastrosa, how many of you got the image of what I was talking about? Put your hand up if you understood what I said. Mateo, Francisco, and maybe, I'm sorry. ¿Cómo te llamas? ¿Cómo te, sí? Nicolás. Sí, Nicolás, ¿entendiste lo que dije? Sí. Yeah, Nicolás, Francisco, and Mateo understood what I said, yeah? The rest of you, you look at me like, Because I said a word in Spanish, and I deliberately chose a word that's not the norm, because I didn't want the rest of you to understand what I was saying. That's the point. You didn't capture what I said because you didn't understand the language. Amen? The word I said meant scruffy, just so you know. Scruffy or unkempt. But the point is that meaning is conveyed by what is spoken, by what is encapsulated within that word. Amen? So, we speak God's language. The word says that we have the mind of Christ and we know all things. And that is inside. We do. We speak God's language. God speaks to us and we know the sheep hear his voice. Adam and Eve communed with God. They shared his thoughts. How else can you get into a relationship if you don't share somebody's thoughts? You can't. But what happened was that Satan came in and introduced wrong thoughts. And as a result of those wrong thoughts, Adam and Eve fell into sin. Amen. We know that, yeah? One of the area that we need to really see first and foremost for mind renewal is the importance and the significance of what we think. We need to see how important our thoughts are. We can't just say, it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what I put my mind on, because at the end of the day, hey ho, it does matter. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you an example in a minute and show you exactly how it matters. When man was formed by, well, actually before man was formed by God, man was actually a thought. And God began to think about man, and that thought formed the shape, created. The word was spoken, and that actually created man. But before he was a created being, he was a thought. Yeah? Amen? And every thought forms or shapes something, and that's what happens in our lives. What we think is forms and shapes us. For example, evil thoughts like death, destruction, poverty, failure. If we continue to think those thoughts, we're going to be shaped by those thoughts. Amen? But positive thoughts and good thoughts like prosperity, peace, joy, fullness, we continue to meditate on those thoughts, and we're going to be shaped by those thoughts. You and I today are, we've become what we've become, but we don't have to stay where we are. There is always possibility of change. There is always possibility of coming up higher. Amen. Yes. It's never too late, ever. But we must realize how dangerous the thoughts that surround us are. Because the word says, as a man thinks in his heart, he will act. That is the way he will be. So as I said before, thoughts lead to actions and lead to, what did I say? Who was listening? Two? Exactly. Patterns. Exactly right. Okay, let's look at the example. Let's imagine husband and wife. Okay, let's look at it from the wife's perspective. As I'm a woman, we'll do it that way around. So let's imagine that the husband does something inconsiderate, says something not particularly nice. The wife thinks, has a thought. Typical of him, he's so selfish. She acts on it and allows that thought to take up residence on the inside. And that residing thought becomes offense. She becomes offended, and because she thinks she's in the right, that's the thoughts and the reasoning without the Holy Spirit, she thinks he should apologize and make amends. Because, of course, it's not the first time he's done it. Then she uses the silent treatment, the habitual behavior. Now, we can all consider this example, and I suppose perhaps women, maybe more than men, I don't know. But it could be the kind of behavior that we've once or twice practiced. But the point is, how should we really think? Well, love. God's love in us has been shed abroad in our hearts. And it says, love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Amen? It takes no account of the wrong done to it. And it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. The flesh, which is our reasoning, wants retribution. The flesh wants payment. You did me wrong, now I want you to apologize. And then, once you've apologized, I'll feel better. But until you apologize, I'm not going to walk in love. Because I need that apology, I need that retribution, I need the payment for what you did to me. That's not what the word teaches. The word teaches grace. Jesus died for each and every one of us, and it was free. And so, When our flesh wants revenge, what we need to do is to just allow that one word to come in. Grace. Freely have you received, freely give. Amen. And as we meditate on that, and as we just catch ourselves, because it's so easy to just get into that automatic, we just need to take that moment. Think about what you're thinking. Stop. Stop. Think about what you're thinking. And at that instant, just think grace. And it will, and it'll set you free. It'll allow you to just freely give to that other person. Because that other person, their behavior was maybe completely out of line, completely wrong. I'm not justifying the other person's behavior, but what I'm saying is, we're not called to focus on that person's behavior. What we are called as God's children is to walk in love. Amen? Love isn't a feeling, it's a decision. It's something we decide to do. We choose to love. And we decide not to become offended. It's always a choice. It's always two roads. It's always this way or that way. We either choose God's way or we choose our own way. Offense reacts, but love needs to be acted on. Amen? If you haven't got His word living on the inside of you, and if you don't know the word, when push comes to shove, it will be difficult. That's really why we need to see the importance of being in the Word. We can't put it to work if we don't know what it says. Amen. We need to know what the Word says. So, the Word needs to come in and tear stuff up and tear stuff out from the roots. It needs to pull stuff out from the inside of us. And we've already said this. It didn't happen when we were recreated because our mind needs to be renewed. So, our job is to do what we're supposed to do with our minds, which is allow Him to renew them. For example, you could have two thoughts. You could think, I could never be used by God. I could never speak in public. I could never get up behind a pulpit and give a word. Or you could think, well, the Word says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And which of those two thoughts are you going to allow to dominate you? I'm not saying that everybody's got a pulpit ministry, but what I'm saying is often there are things in our lives which we actually think we can't do, which we have conditioned ourselves or allowed ourselves to be conditioned and told that we can't do. And actually, the Word says we can. Amen? We can. What we need to do is to immerse ourselves in everything that Jesus said and did, and to allow red letters to swim round, to allow His words to get into our hearts until they live on the inside of us. If we learn how He thinks, He will show us His ways, and we will understand. What's the Bible? What is the Bible? The Bible is God's thoughts. Who's the author? The author is the Holy Spirit. And why is the Holy Spirit in us? So that we can know His thoughts. It's not complicated. He's made it easy. He's made provision. He's made the provision. So, question. Is it possible for us to think and understand God's thoughts? Hello? Is it possible for us to think and understand God's thoughts? It is. He's made it easy. We're just going to look at one more scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And it says, but on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love Him, for those who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him, and greatly recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them. He has already revealed them. He's already unveiled them. What we need to see is we're not striving. We're not in there saying, God, speak to me. He's already, we've already, if you've been born again, you already have the capacity to receive what God means in his word. You already have the capacity to understand. And I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about you understand in your spirit and then your mind understands. It comes up from your spirit man and then it's like ding, ping, then you get it. And it says, through his spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the word to us. So, the question is, even the sounding and profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. Now that word sometimes causes problems because we can often think it's hidden from us. It's not hidden from us ever. It's hidden for us. It's when we begin to allow God to bring that transformation that he is then able to just bring the word to us in its reality. That real living word that we need in an instant, in a moment, just that revelation that brings the click in that we go, wow, that's what he's saying to me. And it could be that the same word could mean seven different things to seven different people. Because it's the Holy Spirit that takes that word and breathes life into the word. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks something to Wendy and speaks something completely different to Phil. Because that's who he is. And what we need to see is that he is always, always desiring. It's like, you know, in Genesis when it talked about the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And God spoke. And the Holy Spirit went, vroom, into action. It's exactly the same. It's like when we get into the Word, we get into the Word and we say, Lord, yes, I will be transformed. I will allow you to take out all of the rubbish and to put in what you want. And as we open up to him and we say, Lord, speak to me. I'm here. I'm willing. I'm being obedient. I want to hear from you. And I know you've given me the mind of Christ. He will. He will. And I get really excited about this because it is so true. We are so bombarded with stuff around us. And if we would just take the time and we would just go with a true heart of faith, believing that this is God's word and he desires to speak to each and every one of us, we wouldn't have any problem receiving because he's speaking. He is speaking to each and every one of us, and he desires more than anything for all of us to receive his living word. That word that changes our lives, that word that brings transformation, that word that brings that very thing that we needed, that very solution to that problem, I remember once I'd lost an earring. This sounds really kind of small, but to me it was a big thing because they were my favorite earrings. They weren't very expensive, but I really liked those earrings. And I remember saying, I'm feeling almost a bit guilty for asking the Lord something that seems so petty, really. But you know, God is interested even in the small things. And I remember saying, Lord, where's the earring? Please, would you just show me where the earring is? And you know what? Literally, we were living in the UK at the time, and we were living in this apartment on the top floor. And I walked down the stairs, three flights of stairs, got to the front door, went to open the front door and tripped over the coconut matting. And as I tripped, I pulled the matting up from the floor. I looked down. Under that coconut matting was my earring. And so you can't tell me that God doesn't speak to his children. He speaks to all of us. So, conformed or transformed? I know which one I'm going to choose. Which are you going to choose? Amen?